This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 4, Episode 5 of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. It's been a very fun season so far. I'm loving it. It's a fresh new cast, so we'll take it. We'll take it after the long-winded six-month venture that was the last season of Happily Ever After. And I can't wait. I'm buzzing with excitement to talk about this with y'all. I'm, of course, your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Pia Zambichilli, ready to break it down once again. Now, with me is someone who doesn't need an introduction, but formalities make me have to do it. He is someone who is always there when there is gossip to be spoken, mess to be cleaned up, and is a co-host of not only a challenge podcast over on the Dom and Colin Network, but also one half of the Love Island Wrap Up on this very network. It is the king of Twitter, Brian. I am the King Scally. Brian, how are you doing today?
Hello, but also no. I am great. I did go out shopping for a return to the 90 Day Fiancé podcast. A little formal, but I'm happy with it overall. Definitely excited to be back here.
Did you buy knives or did you buy nipple pillows?
Oh, I already had both, so.
Wow. Okay. Let me just alter my notes here real quick for you. Nope. For the future and your intro. Cool.
Nope.
All right. Nope.
Honestly, I mean, the nipple pillows, by far the less concerning item.
Oh, easily. And it's not easily. Close. It's not close.
Not at all.
So, Scally, this is your first crack at talking about this season of The Other Way. We've spoken about Happily Ever After a bunch last season. How's your feelings been venturing into this new season?
I'm excited. I love The Other Way. It's one of my favorite iterations of 90 Day. I think it's so fun to get to know new people, to see like a whole different, like a bunch of different locations in the world that we're actually exploring with the different couples. So The Other Way is always a format that I'm going to be excited to dive into on a season. And for the most part, I don't hate all of these people yet. So which is a nice change from last season of 90 Day. So I'm feeling great about being here on 90 Day The Other Way.
I love to hear it. I love that. So then let's dive right on in and kind of get introduced to a person together for the first time. Five episodes in, and we finally get our introduction into Osama of Debbie and Osama. Now, Debbie's on her way to Morocco. Before we get to meet Osama, we do see Debbie making her way to the airport, and Julian holding her down. She's talking all that smack. I don't care for Julian. I hate Julian. Julian can go away.
Strong hate. Like the I was listening when you guys like first discussed Julian, and it was not like the strongest reaction of hate, and I was like, no, I have hated this man from second one on screen. It's just only gotten worse. I feel like this was probably not his worst episode. I'm almost mad at you for like not bringing me into an episode where I can fully lay into him.
You're allowed. I allow it.
I am just like, I don't know. Everything about him is like red flags for me. I just, even like the way he talks, I get red flags from. So Julian is it, both in like cadence and term and all of the above. So I don't know. Julian, not my guy at all here.
No. And the reason why I'm laying into him now, maybe more than before, is because I thought, okay, you've repeated the same thing twice now. What else do you got to say? Apparently more of the same. He keeps hitting the same 3 points that he feels like she is going to get scammed. Something's going to happen. Even at the airport, he's like, is there anything I can do? Is there money I can pay you so that you would stay? And it's just so clear that Julian's a mama's boy and he's going to miss his mom. And he can't just be like, I'm going to miss you, mom. He has to make it seem like it's a whole safety issue because Julian's a man. A man that doesn't feel feelings, but is a cautious man.
I mean, Julian and his America shirt have shown up to say that someone is stealing his mom America. From him. Oh, the could not miss it. It was a very large. I believe there was some other writing on there. But yeah, they both showed up here to say that his mom is being stolen from him by this man. I was like, all right, can we like really cool it like on all aspects? But when you combine everything, like the language always is interesting to me that Julian is choosing to use. So Julian, bad vibes.
Yeah, just get on the plane, Debbie. Ignore this man. Ignore your son, please. Now, we do find out that she is leaving the townhouse for the children. So she didn't get rid of the townhouse. And then the plan is for her stuff to periodically get moved out of there and given to her later, which is fine. I think that's a fine choice. But I wanted to talk about that first, because then we could just skip ahead and go into the Osama of it all. To meet Osama. So the one thing Julian did say, which ended up being true, is the joke about him having a skateboard, because Osama, his B-roll was almost entirely skateboarding out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Look, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
Like it happens.
Yeah, the man knows his way around a deck. He's doing good. He's doing good with the tricks. But yeah, Osama, 24 years old. He describes himself as a loner. He feels more comfortable around cats than he does people. And then we do see some fun, wholesome footage of him with like 3-4 cats. And then him like having this intense, wholesome eye contact with this baby kitten, which was adorable. I did enjoy him. I did enjoy meeting him. He lives on with his family and their farm. They have a small farm. I didn't write down the numbers of all the animals. It was a couple chickens, a couple of this, one donkey. I did write one donkey in my thing. But this is all he does is the farm stuff, because he likes to focus on his creative side. He's a poet. He writes poetry, and he feels like hard work can kill creation, Scally.
Now, the only time, like, I understand where Julian is coming in and has like some concerns. Pretty much if I knew anyone entering into a relationship with a 50, 60 year age difference, some red flags, like concerning. But then as soon as we meet Osama, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually not having that many concerns. I feel like this man might just be like very in tune with his emotions, very much a like meeting of the souls. Age does not matter. I think I'm buying it at this point based on what we've seen.
Yeah. He, he's heads in the cloud with this guy a little bit. He does mention that inside him, there's a writer, a painter, a poet. And then he's not really been someone who looks for a girlfriend before Debbie. He especially didn't have that. And then he talks about how, you know, I know Debbie's older, but age is just a number and the soul doesn't grow. I was like, all right, let's move on, Osama. You're giving me too many lines here. I don't need all of this. You're giving me too many Osama-isms out the gate here.
Yeah, the if any like concerns, because so much of it is like he was never looking for a girlfriend before. He just wanted to be alone. And it's like you're almost saying like too many of the things that would get me to believe this. But yeah, I don't know. Osama's definitely an interesting character that I am very excited to get to know a lot more as this plays out. They've hid him from us.
They have hit him from us, and I feel like he's going to be a huge character. So I'm very excited to see him and Debbie face to face and together, because I want to see what their dynamic is. We are told that they have had fights before on social media and that she blocked him on Facebook. She unplugged the fax machine. So they've definitely had that beef before. Now, he wants them to get to know each other more and better before getting married, which I thought, wait, I thought she was moving to marry him. She's moving like permanently. And then right after that, he says, but Debbie doesn't know this as she is moving here. So yikes. Another couple where they're just withholding information and hoping for the best.
Yeah. Osama's not ready to get married at all. Good thing Debbie didn't sell the townhouse. I think that might come in handy at some point. I don't know. I think that I'm still kind of questioning all right, we are not doing this. God, what are their names? Like, we're not doing this like Chris style where we're getting married 2 weeks into getting there. Like, we're going to wait till the end and like feel this out before we get married, or you will not be getting married on this trip.
See, I agree with you, but at the same time, I need Osama to figure his stuff out, and I need him to marry her. I need them to be happy. Uh-oh. Because I cannot have Julian be right. I'm sorry. I cannot have Julian at the reunion. I told you so, Mom. You know, you were wrong. He's a child. He was scamming. No. They love each other. I need them to love each other, please.
A man so bad that we are willing to ship a 50-year age difference.
You know, when you put it that way, I don't want to, but even still, I think I want it. Oh, God, what is going on? What is happening to me? Oh, God.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing is, look, Debbie is a character. I am very excited to have Debbie on my screen. I'm interested to get to know now both of these people. I really thought that Debbie would be the one carrying the character, and I still think she's definitely going to be the more interesting TV presence. But I feel like there is so much to get to know about each person in this relationship, and especially them together and how they actually work in person.
Yeah. So we'll see how they play out. We do have a next time on from them, and in the next time on, Debbie arrives. Osama's at the airport. Questionable choice of hat, if I'm being critical here. Didn't love that. That's fine, though. They're going to be happy. Fingers crossed, at least. We'll see. Now, let's move over to another couple who is very happy with each other. I think they're doing well as a couple, strong as a couple. It's going to be Gabe and Isabel here. Gabe and Isabel didn't get a lot of story time, Scally, but I would love to hear your thoughts on them.
I love them. I want nothing but good things for them. And that's why I'm so upset that I come in here with like what could have been an email of a scene for Isabel and Gabe. It is ultimately them just being like, you know, the smallest of tiffs, the smallest of problems, really. You know, it seems big in the moment, but it will be solved with like a one Amazon order. So I really am enjoying them. I am rooting for them fully. I really like Gabriel's relationship with Isabel's children. I think that is super exciting and also very important to like have on TV right now. So I am very, very interested in how this couple goes over the rest of the season.
Big same. It's usually a good indicator when there's a couple you're rooting for that is kind of boring as far as story goes. I think that's a good sign for them being a strong couple, and I think that's what we want more than anything, because I have six bullet points on what happened with them in the show, which is not a lot, and four of those six are about the same thing. It's all to do with Gabe's business. So if y'all remember, Gabe has an underwear business that he's got going on. Isabel has quit her job at a law firm and has been helping with the business. So Isabel's not working with Gabe on these. But Gabe has been back ordered and they do not have inventory. So this episode, they went looking for basically fabrics and stuff to get the inventory up, to get work going. But Gabe is a stressy, which, you know, been there. So Gabe is just stressing a lot about all this. And then Gabe also does put out the little nugget of information that, you know, there's sometimes there's a feeling of feeling emasculated because Isabella can be a little bossy, maybe in the co-sharing, co-partnering the business place, which, you know, free advice. I would say never get into business with family or relationship. I'm like, that's never a good idea because things like this could cause problems in the relationship. But for now, it looks fine. The big drama, Scally, is, oh my God, Gabe forgot all his stamps in Miami and it would take a month to get here to Colombia. A month.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, obviously they've said that they are falling behind on like the pre-orders as is. And I understand that you want to put the label in the underwear. I'm almost like, can we just like ship them out and saying it was a manufacturing error? Like there's no label. Is that like, no one's like looking at the waistband of the underwear that you're shipping out and being like, you know, I should buy those also. Like, I'm sure that they can just tell where they ordered them from. seems like not the biggest issue in the world to me. Isabel, where Gabe says basically that Isabel is like kind of taken over, it's almost out of necessity. Isabel like, yeah, has relations and like understands the language better and like knows where they should go to pick up everything. So I think it's a smaller issue than we're being presented on TV, where I'm sure that he is much, much more thankful for the help than he is having issues with it.
I would agree with that as well, because the way I see it, this isn't like Gabe's business is at a place where it's Nike, where you need the swoosh. If the swoosh is missing, people aren't going to buy it because like, is it Nike or is it fake? I don't think the business is quite there yet. It seems like it's still in the process of growing, and I don't think that's going to be an issue. It is also underwear, which to your point, how often am I going to see the logo? I feel like the only underwear I can think of where I've noticeably either recognize or see the logo are those Calvin Kleins. And mm-hmm. other than that, never know what underwear anyone's wearing. So I think word of mouth is really where you're going to get the advertising here. Or if someone goes on Survivor, like when Evie went on Survivor and then Liana said, oh my God, where'd you get your underwear? And they were like, they here. And then Liana bought that pair of underwear. So very rarely does this work out that way.
Have almost also purchased a Survivor pair of underwear, but did not follow through.
I heard you were going for the Philip underwear, right?
Actually, I already own those. But
oh, wow. All right. So Philip underwear check, knife collection.
Let's calm down. Pillows. Okay. I am only really good at fighting against the knife collection. That is not happening. that's where I'm putting
that's my your one must go.
Yeah, I'm putting my foot down here. It's important.
I can respect that. Yeah,
it does not work with my brand. so yeah, otherwise I am full team Isabel and Gabriel. I am very excited, especially like even the things that we are being previewed as issues for them, like having to come out to the rest of Isabel's family. It sounds like it should probably be pretty easy with Isabel's son. I feel like kids, especially raised in an environment which seems as accepting and positive as Isabel's, should be extremely easy. Kids don't care. Her mom seems, like she said, should be easy. So fingers crossed on the dad there. I'm hoping that it goes smoothly, and I'm wishing good things for these kids.
Big same here. I feel the exact same way as you do. And I really hope everything goes smoothly there. And then in the next time on, we do see another bit of the story with them. It seems like Gabriel wants to get some sort of elective surgery that based on the little clip we saw is not required, but it's something Gabe would like, but we're not told what it is. So we'll find out more about it there. And then also we had Isabel saying that, you know, she loves Gabe the way Gabe is, but you know, if this is something Gabe wants, that's cool. So like, I don't think there's going to be any problems here. This is,
I don't think so either.
Yeah, this is what I mean when like the couple has storyline where they seem to still be in agreement no matter what is happening. That's a good thing for them.
Yeah. The most I can imagine is like, let's make sure the finances are in order before diving into something. But I'm sure that like either of them having an elective surgery would end up being fine, especially gender affirming care. So I am not worried as of yet.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way as well. So then let's move over now into the next couple, a couple that seems to be already on the ropes and it's only episode 5, Johan and Danielle. Let's go there, Scally. So you had not watched Love in Paradise, right?
I have not.
Okay, you're fine. You're not missing out. I think it was fine. It was fun, but it was okay. It was not like required. So Danielle and Johan, they meet up with Danielle's friend Sophie, who we did meet, I believe, in the premiere episode. And Sophie's visiting from New York, and you know, they've known each other for 5 years. Danielle was her yoga instructor. And then this lunch, let's call it, was weird. I felt like Sophie came in swinging out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the thing is, I was like, interesting direction for this conversation to have gone in, but I do think that Johan like brings up really the pressing conversations that come up later. I think it's still a lot to be asking about kids in the first meeting, but you know what, I guess it's a pressing conversation, especially when Sophie has seemed to have expressed concerns before, but a little much for me.
Yeah, I felt like it was a lot there, you know, mentions of the age gap being 10 years, and then Sophie was like, well, she can't give you a baby. And then we are reminded that when they did go to the fertility doctor, the doctor mentioned that there's a 5% chance. And I remember Johan being like, hey, if it's meant to be, it'll be, and I believe it'll happen. So kind of riding on faith there a little bit. And then the key thing that becomes the big drama of this episode is that when talking about one of his exes, Johan mentions that one of his exes had an abortion, and then Danielle is shocked that Johan would keep this from her, because I guess Johan had told her that there was a complication with the baby, more so saying that, you know, there was supposed to be a baby and then there wasn't, versus there was an abortion that took place. And that Danielle sees this as a lie, that he lied to her and that he was not being truthful, which is a very big pillar of hers that she does not feel okay with being broken.
I'm gonna save the hate word and start with I dislike Danielle.
Interesting. Say banking it for later, are we?
Well, there's a long season ahead of us.
Fair.
For me, I thought it was confusing, at least how it is translated in the discussion. Johan says, and then probably like some might have got pregnant, some might have elected to not keep the baby. So I was like, was there multiple pregnancies? Because we really seem to be focusing on one, and then maybe he wasn't lying saying that some lost the baby, but I don't know. It seems like we develop into the point where we are now talking about only one pregnancy, and Danielle comes in very accusatory, where I feel like maybe they had a lot of extensive conversations about this that I have not been privy to, but it doesn't seem like they've known each other for the longest period of time based on the air date of Love in Paradise. So a little confused there, but I feel like I would be coming from this as a perspective of like, oh my God, that must have like been traumatic, or like, are you okay? Like, was it traumatic for you? Like, what is the situation? And then maybe when we talked about this last time, did you purposefully phrase it this way, or why is like that the case now? But no, Danielle comes in very hard.
Yeah, very hard, very fast. And, you know, there's a world where stuff got lost in translation, right? The way he said it, maybe she took it a certain way. And then to her, it's a bigger difference. Now, I don't know if this was like a trigger for her, or what exactly the backstory is there. But my initial reaction, as a complete outsider who doesn't even know if he's right to feel the way he feels, was this isn't an abortion that you need to necessarily know about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So part of me was like, well, it was another woman's abortion. Potentially that's not something that has anything to do with you. So I don't know. I felt, and then I, you know, have to assess myself. I'm like, am I just like not a fan of Danielle? So I'm looking at it with like maybe some bias. I don't know. But at my core, I feel like I can see you feeling like this is something you would like to know, especially these are topics that you've talked about before. This is something you want to know. But to then cuff it with you're a liar and you are being untruthful with me, and not that I don't necessarily know if I see it that way.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing, is like I said, the questions can come, but why is it being approached in this way from Danielle?
Yeah.
that's where, I mean, as you said, like maybe there is a history on her side. Maybe there is a history more of like lying and deception, or this conversation like having been a pressure point before for them. So that's why her reaction is as such. But given how, let's say, the butcher shop was handled and other conversations that we've seen, it feels like we're jumping to a point of conflict on both sides, to be fair, to be fair to Danielle, a little bit on both sides, but specifically Danielle here, jumping to conflict over something that I think could be handled much differently.
Yeah, I definitely think it could be handled differently or better than, because, okay, so then we haven't talked about this part yet, but in the scene where this becomes an issue that they discuss a little bit more, perhaps, before that happens, Danielle takes Johan to a botanica store where she's trying to get some, are they fragrances?
Ingredients.
Ingredients is better.
Yeah.
Better. I don't know. Basically, you know, some ingredients that she believes if they put in the store, it can bring prosperity, can bring good fortune and the like. This is stuff that Johan has been on record not really understanding, but supporting her no matter what about. It was surprising to me, Scally, that we're talking about money being tight and she dropped $250 on these ingredients.
Oh, I noticed. that could be breakfast for, so. Yeah,
you could have peanuts.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I don't know. I thought it was interesting for sure that I feel like it's obviously a difference of opinion in how they approach things like this in terms of their different faiths. But I thought that this would not be an issue if not for the underlying issues that they already had surrounding.
Yeah. And I feel like ultimately when it came to Johan, I feel like Johan does respect her beliefs and doesn't really, isn't really like fighting them or being like, this is stupid. This is that. He keeps calling it witchcraft, which I know she doesn't like, which fair. That is the one dig that he does take consistently there. But then there was a photo of a saint in this store that she was like, how about we get this and put it in the butcher shop? That could be good. And he's like, oh, no shot. No way. She's like, why? He said, well, if I have this in the store, people will come in and then they my community, they don't really believe in this. They might think it's witchcraft and leave. Mm-hmm. And then he tells us in confessional, I respect all of Danielle's beliefs, but I don't understand why she doesn't respect mine. And I think I agree with him to a certain degree of if he's just not telling you how to follow your beliefs, you can't try and push your beliefs on him and then be upset if he doesn't want to do them.
Mm-hmm. Like even if his answer was just it doesn't align with my faiths and so I don't want to have this particular picture in my butcher shop, then like fine, if it becomes their butcher shop then it's a conversation. But if it is also then on top of that going to alienate the clientele because of their faiths and it is counter to their faith as well, I think that he knows best for like where they are living, and she would do well to listen to him on this matter.
Yeah. And then when it came down to the discussions about the dishonesty, the way Danielle phrases it to us, she says, now that Johan has been dishonest about this one thing, it kind of opens my mind to what other things can be there. And for me, the way I take that is you are looking for an exit. You are looking for a bigger issue that could be there, but may not be there at the same time. And I can't help but feel like the combination of I want to live in a place with all of these things and we can't afford that and the store's not doing well and we don't have this, we don't have that. Do you feel like there's a world where she's trying to just find an exit plan here?
I don't think it's consciously. I do think that sometimes it is subconscious and sometimes it's just a personality trait of like looking for what is wrong in every situation that you're in. Obviously, I don't know enough about Danielle to say if either of those are true, is it, let alone which one. So I definitely think it's on the table. It's going to take longer into the season for me to really diagnose that with any degree of confidence. But at this moment, it does seem like Danielle is really questioning her decisions at the very least.
Yeah, they had what I would describe as a penultimate episode / season finale argument level, where there was conversations, you know, she kept getting angry at him. And then she, when she's angry, she likes to speak in English. And then she talks about how she doesn't know if this is the relationship she wants. She mentioned that she wants him to be a different person. She does call him a toxic human, which then he picked up the word toxic. I'm like, are you calling me toxic? She's like, yeah, you're toxic. And Johan's whole thing is, I told you everything. Maybe I told it to a different Danielle then. I guess that's what happened. So he's clearly getting fed up too, but he keeps taking shots like that, which are actively making things worse with her. And then she leaves to go back to the hotel. And she's like, I don't know if he's going to come back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if we weren't so early in the season, I would really question this. Like,
yeah,
could this be a game ender? I feel like we have seen this from other couples. I mean, particularly like Kim and Usman comes to mind of a recent couple who would have like pretty big fights throughout the season. So I'm expecting this one to resolve itself. But at the point that you're calling each other like toxic humans, like I need you to be a different person. Like maybe we should evaluate if this is working at all.
That could be a shout. That could be something you could think about a little bit. Yeah, because next episode, they're going to keep fighting. So we'll get more of their fights and scraps in the next episode to discuss. And we'll see if the, you know, Johan and Daniel have any room for salvation within this relationship, because I don't know right now. It's a big question mark on them. We'll see. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about Chris and Jamie.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so Chris and Jamie, another couple who didn't quite have much of a story this week, except for one trip. They did take one trip together this episode. Chris feels better, so she wants to go see the city, and they're going to go there. But before they do, Scally, this is a big, big part of 90 Day lore, is the translation egg, which is what we call the little translation device that couples may use to communicate with each other. They've got a translation egg already now because obviously the language barrier being a little bit tough. So they're going to be communicating with this translation egg moving forward. The reason they're going to the city is because Chris would like to go to a store where they have weapons.
Yeah. And I love Jemmy's face here. It's just like, oh, that is the last thing that I expected to hear coming out of this egg. It's like, yeah, I need large weapons, please.
He's like, I would like a weapon. I want it to protect us. I want us to be safe. Jamie mentions, I don't like the idea. And Chris goes, oh, don't you worry. I've always had weapons in my home. So I know my way around weapons.
Yeah, don't worry. I love weapons. Very big on the weapons. This would talk about red flags.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, weapons. Okay, maybe like a pepper spray or like a little pocket knife. Okay, fine. I get that. I mean, I never wield. I don't have a weapon. Mm-mm. I don't really know many people who do have weapons, but I'm like, you know, maybe something a little something to put in the bag, yeah, potentially. They get to the store. These are knives. These are knives, like army knives, like battle knives. Yeah. And the way Chris is just nonchalant whipping these knives around like it's nothing, doing backflips with them, tricks with them. It was jarring. If I'm Jamie, I'm feeling the same way, especially again, this is my partner who I didn't know this about. It's going to be tough to see. It was interesting because they did show us that, you know, Chris had a collection at home and then the B-roll of the collection at home, Scally. This reminded me of, you know, as a kid growing up, there were definitely places like you'd walk down the street. There were definitely streets where like you walk down them, there'd be people that would put out like a towel and then they'd have like bootleg DVDs to buy, mm-hmm, at like $3 a piece because they're all like fake, but it's like the newer movies. I remember that's how I watched Monsters, Inc. because I bought it over there. But this was the same towel that I've seen DVDs on, only instead of DVDs, it was literally 40 knives.
Hmm. It was okay. For anyone that is looking to attack me, I may or may not be lying now, but otherwise, I have been to like ammo store one time and it made me so deeply uncomfortable and like terrified and I hated it so much and I just don't want to be around this stuff and like please don't show me this. When they show Chris's in all caps large knife collection and then she's like, oh, this is like a quarter of it, where's the rest? I was scared. I am scared of you as a person. Chris, I believe, is from Alabama, right? And I think, mm-hmm, that if Chris were to go to basically any major city, Chris would probably be throwing a couple weapons in her bag, if not more. So I think that is probably the case. But the way that she is talking about, like, oh, I'm really worried about kidnappings and drug lords here. Like, why did you move here if that is like so prevalent of a problem in your mind? But also, I just don't think that Chris was like taking in the right media probably as well.
Yeah, it felt very much like I'm generalizing being outside of the U.S. that it's going to be unsafe. But, you know, someone called Benoit Blanc because the knives were out. Like, there were a lot of them. So I'm Jamie in that situation. I'm like, knives? No. I barely can hold a knife when I'm cutting veggies. Like, are you joking? I don't think I would want one of these. Now, the other thing, to give more backstory to this, because obviously at the end of the day, Chris was so comfortable around these, which means that Chris has grown up with these. But just how much has she grown up with these? She tells us that she received a big knife when she turned 8 as a present, to which Jamie responded, I got a Barbie. Like, yeah, I'm Jamie. That's me. Me, I'm Jamie, Jamie, me. Toys. Where that knife? No.
When I was 8, I think people were still cutting up my food. I don't feel like...
Were you
like
a crust soft guy?
Yeah, oh, I definitely was. And I was skin off the hot dog guy. So
what?
My grandma would peel my hot dogs for me.
What? What?
Yeah, that was me. So you're welcome.
What in the bougie?
Okay, calm down. I feel like it actually is the opposite direction at that point. I was not cultured that I'm peeling hot dogs for food. But I don't know. The 8th birthday giant knife, I would not trust most 8-year-olds with a large hunting knife by any means.
Hey, I mean, she's here now, right? She's still here. She's doing her thing. So
who else is not here? Is my question.
I mean, great question.
Yeah. Did we count the fingers on Chris? I'm not confident.
Yeah. I don't know. That was their whole segment. The whole segment was, my name is Chris and welcome to my knife shop. Like, that's what it was. And the next time on, we see that Chris may have to leave to go back to Alabama.
Yeah, this was interesting. I don't know what Jamie was like more upset by, if it was Chris like swinging the knife around in the shop, or seeing that or Jamie was more upset by, or seeing that Chris might be going back to Alabama. It definitely seems odd. I think it probably is like a quick little trip, but given that there have been some cracks forming here already, I think that it's not great.
Yeah, I'm a little worried for them. This was another indicator to me of, hey, this is like end of the season storyline. So what is happening here? Are we gonna, are we reaching, like, is there a mid-season finale, but it's also only been 5 episodes? I'm so confused by what's happening here.
I'm trying to remember, who was it last season where she was like getting on the plane to leave, and then it just turned out that they were going to like take a trip to Florida to get married?
Patrick and Thais.
So like things have been misleading before, so I'm not like entirely believing that she is going in the first place, or that she will be staying for any amount of time, that this will really be a big deal. Maybe she just has to finalize the sale on the house that she got rid of. But yeah, I mean, it would be concerning that she is going, and I understand Jamie like having reservations, but I think that things will be just fine for Jamie and Chris, at least for now.
Yeah, I think they're okay. I think if we, I've not been doing the power rankings this season, I think they'd still be closer to the top if that was the case.
Before this episode, I was like, I'm shipping, and now I'm just a little scared, but I guess I'll give them number one so that they're not mad at me.
Put the knife down. You're number one, Chris.
Please, please don't attack me.
All right. So moving on from a couple that seems to be doing okay to a couple that doesn't seem to be doing okay and is just all around awkward. It's time for the Nicole and Mahmoud segment here, Scally. They've pretty much been the stars of the show this season. And by stars, I mean they've got probably the most footage thus far. Mm-hmm. What have your thoughts been on these two?
So this was the couple that I was dreading talking about as I was watching the season. And then as we get to this episode, I thought that it was like an okay episode for them, to be honest. I, in general, just like shake cringing watching Nicole most of the time as like she is on TV. I think that it is generally an uncomfortable situation. I don't think that this is meant to be, but I also recognize that we're locking in for a good 7 seasons of them. So get prepared yourself, as well as I'm sure I'll be around. So nervous about that. I think that up until this point, it was looking really bad. This episode, I think that was the first one where I felt like maybe there's like a tiny bit of hope.
There's a tiny bit of hope, and I agree with you there. So the episode opens up with, you know, we had seen the preview that looked like Nicole was in the bathroom crying and not wanting to come out, which I thought was more of a, I don't want to leave. We learned quickly that it was more so she was getting ready for the day and then started getting homesick and started getting a little bit, you know, just in her feelings about everything that's going on. She, you know, is someone who's very self-conscious about the fact that she takes a long time to get ready. And it sounds like they're all sharing the same bathroom. So living with his family, she feels like she's taking up too much space and would like an apartment, which is all good until you remember that the last time she came here, they got an apartment, then she left in a month. So not great there. So now they've decided to go out, which is great. But then, you know, Mahmoud clarifies, you know, there's some areas in Egypt that are just for men, because they walk by this cafe and she's like, we can go here. He's like, I don't know if we can, though. Let me see. So they sit down. He's feeling awkward. It's very clear. He asks the waiter that comes through. Waiter says she's fine to be here. Everything's cool. And then this is the interesting part for me. So she brings up asking about his friends, because he says, this is kind of the place that I hang out with my friends and, you know, shoot the shit a little bit. And she's like, well, can we meet them? And he said, no, I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Now, I will admit, the preview of can I meet your friends? No, and don't ever ask that again did make me laugh very hard. I thought it was extremely funny. But the way that this plays out, I thought was much more reasonable. Seeing how they interact and Mahmoud, like in general, like phrasing everything with like, oh, like baby or sweetie, or just like pet names every time, and like really trying to not get in an argument to the best of his ability with every conversation that they're having, and explain why he feels like uncomfortable sitting in a cafe, why they might not introduce her to his friends. Like, I think that he was explaining himself very well. Obviously, Nicole was not taking no for an answer here, but I thought that it was a much more productive conversation than usual.
It was, and I do like that Mahmoud is still, you know, saying, even though it's not the norm, even though I don't think it's the right call, let me go through with this. Sure, let's hang out with my friends. That's fine. Then he says, but don't ask this again. So we get to the dinner that he's planned with these friends. Okay, so it's him, it's Nicole, and it's four of his good friends. This was a very awkward dinner. We're talking a circle table. All four of these guys are sitting directly across from them, squished into each other. And there's quite a bit of gap around this table that they could have easily sat around it. But what was clear to me, because if you look at the background in this restaurant, there are clearly, you know, women there with men, like in different tables, women without hijab hanging out. Like, there's different types of people at this restaurant. I think the biggest indicator, because I'm sure this is a question that's coming up for people of like, wow, is Egypt that conservative? No, there's definitely places in Egypt where that's not really the case. There's definitely other communities in Egypt that are a lot less strict. I think the biggest indicator is that Mahmoud himself comes from a conservative family, and potentially the neighborhood they're in is a very conservative neighborhood, which is why he was like, I don't know about this cafe. Now, it's clear to me, given how his friends, because we're talking four men sitting right next to each other, bumper to bumper, and all of them with their phones out the minute these two come in. So,
yeah, I mean, the seating arrangement left a lot to be desired, like just setting them up for failure from minute one. I think there was no way that this like interrogation style seating was ever going to work out for anyone. But as we see, like Mahmoud knows best. He knows. And I think does a good job of explaining like, no, this is just like how I was raised, like how my friends were raised. And so this is how it's going to go. We see that very clearly with a combination of like how he and his friends generally socialize, but also Nicole's awkwardness, a little bit of anxiety. It was not a match. Does not go super well. She does try and ask a few questions, but very quickly just shuts down entirely.
Yeah, no, 100%. Because it looked interrogation-y, but none of them really wanted to interrogate her at all. They were very content. It was more so Nicole wanted to ask them questions. So Nicole starts it off and says, you know, how do they feel about you marrying an American after also 30 days of knowing them? And he's like, please do not mention the days. He's like, oh, okay. So then he asks them the question without the days. I was like, Mahmoud, do your friends not know how many days before you two got together? What did you tell them? Tell me. No, but tell me.
And I'm sure there's a degree, like obviously all of Mahmoud's friends are like more familiar with like their culture and like how they were raised and what type of questions like would and would not be appropriate. But as he says, like he's never met any of his friends' wives. And so I don't know that there are in questions in their mind that are necessarily like the right or wrong ones to be asking. So where she's like nervous because she doesn't want to ask the right thing, I'm sure that they also are like, well, I don't want to offend Mahmoud and ask the wrong thing here either, and potentially have that be an issue. So it's understandable why this was not going to work from both sides.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, the other big thing here is the language barrier and the fact that most of the conversation, if not all of it, had to go from Mahmoud to them and then from them to Mahmoud back to her. It was a tough place to be in. And it was wild, though, to see how quickly Nicole started shutting down and realizing I've made a huge mistake coming out for this. So,
yeah, she did realize. I think my favorite part was when one of his friends had said that they potentially wanted to marry someone from America. And then Nicole's like, oh, well, ask this guy, like, see what he says. And then ask him to clarify that it's other American women that are crazy, not her. Like, sure, Nicole. definitely. It's the other ones. But, you know, overall, I'm glad that we got to the point where we did at the end of this scene where she agrees that, like, oh, you know what? Maybe he does know best and I should listen to him sometimes, because I think that like, sure, there are things that maybe both of them can compromise on, but it did not seem that Nicole was really willing to take his advice on how some situations would go and maybe should be handled. And I'm hoping that we can move past that and really work on compromise here.
I hope so, too. But then we see the next time on and they are not only in a disagreement again, but this seems to be one of the more heated fights that we're going to see. So we'll see how that pans out. I think ultimately I can echo what we've been saying from the beginning. And I think you'd co-sign. They're clearly not meant for each other. They're clearly not the fit that's going to fit. And they should just cut their losses and go home. But hey, as long as you're going to be here and on the show, we're going to look at you and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Not meant to be together, but meant to be on this show, unfortunately for us.
Yeah, we need the drama to farm, I guess. We do need that.
It is true.
Yeah. All right. So then let's take one last break. And then when we get back, we'll talk about the final couple here in Rishi and Jen.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
All right, and today on the Rishi and Jen News Network, Scally, they've been easily secondary in the storylines. And by secondary, I mean second highest on the content weekly. And speaking of awkward interactions, this probably was the worst one of the night for me. Pretty awkward. Oh,
easy. And I'm coming into this week like, am I a Jen and Rishi fan? Like, I was like, I don't know that I'm like fully standing here. Like, maybe they're like better apart, but I think I'm enjoying them separately at least. This week maybe definitely questioned some of those things.
They are very, very, very fun as a couple to talk about here because they are ridiculous. The decisions are ridiculous. None of it makes sense. And it's just going from bad to worse, but not in a devastating, you two are not meant for each other and should cut your losses. It's more comical with them, which is better for me.
Exactly. I feel like both of these people have their own issues. There are faults on each side, but it's not like ugly at any point. So I am enjoying watching and talking about them.
Same, big same. So we've arrived at the day that they're meeting up with Rishi's family, right? So the last time we saw them, they had a bit of a fight at the clothing store. She left. He has picked out an outfit for her. She seems to like the outfit. So we do love that. Thumbs up. Now, Rishi's friend Sanjeet has now joined them, and he's one of the only friends that Rishi has been fully open about his relationship with Jen, who knows Jen too. So then what was funny to me is Sanjeet, you know, Jen comes out in the outfit. Sanjeet's like, wow, you look too good. This is great. You two look great. This is going to be great. And then Jen asks, well, what do you think of what we're doing here where we're telling them that I'm visiting and that we're friends? And Sanjeet's like, you know, I actually think that they'll be more suspicious about this and this will be worse. This is not a good idea.
I love how every single person in this storyline is like, what the hell is happening here? Like, we all know this is bad, but Jen and Rishi seem to think they're like, have this master plan that they're going to pull one over on everybody.
Yeah, they really don't know why they give themselves so much credit that this is going to be something easy to pull off, because I don't think it is. I feel like you're flying too close to the sun with this meetup. It makes no sense to me. Now, the other thing that Sanjeet says is that, yeah, you know, they've been looking for him already for an arranged marriage. So, you know, they're probably still going to be looking. And she's like, wait, they've been looking still? Obviously, Rishi never shared that information with her. So it already is getting awkward here. This isn't even the awkward part we're talking about, audience. We're going to jump into the Rishi household right now. And basically, you would assume that they're going to stick to the story, stick to the plan, as they say. I'm visiting and we are friends. The first question that Jen is asked when she sits down, she is asked, well, what are you doing here? Like, well, why'd you come to India? And she's like, oh, I recently moved here. Did we not go over the plan, Jen?
Phenomenal. Because it sets up exactly how this is going to know. I'm like, okay, I know where to put my expectations. Like, if it wasn't bad enough that they walk in and Priyanka's like, this is not happening. Like, I know exactly, like, it's up. You're not fooling anybody. Because not only is Jen walking in and meeting the entire family, so is a camera crew of probably 11, 12 people. So it's like, why are they so interested in filming this random friend of yours meeting us? What's the cover story, Rishi? So I feel like something's going on. Like, so I'm sure that they had questions of why he was on like any show in the first place, let alone why she is showing up. Like, there's only so many shows on television that you could be filming. But I very much enjoy that Jen completely abandons the script and is just going to say whatever she wants, because it sets the expectations, I would say, about right for how the rest of this goes.
It gets worse. Then she then starts asking her own. She's like, I'll ask the questions here. How quickly are you looking to find these sons of yours a wife so I could attend two weddings while I'm here? Who were you invited? First of all, second of all, aren't you planning to be at one of the weddings as the wife? What are you doing here?
Oh, no, she's dropping hints that second wedding is happening and she will be there. Just not in what capacity that she will be.
Oh, my God. And then, you know, his mom says, you're pretty soon. I would hope sooner the better. And then Jen says, my turn again. Have you found any potential wives for Rishi yet?
You know what? there's proposals. They're coming in. Jen the whole time is like, oh, really, Rishi, proposals, good. Didn't know about those, but that's interesting. Love to hear those. So it's just like Rishi is like sinking in his chair, knowing like, this is gonna be another conversation. This is gonna be another conversation. This is gonna be another conversation. So definitely playing out in like the best possible way for us, if not the worst.
Yeah. I feel like, and here's my thoughts, right? Because Jen is clearly, she says after they leave that she's disgusted to find out that so much has been happening and she doesn't know about it. I have trouble with this because at the end of the day, Jen, you still want to be with Rishi, right? This conversation alone, this meetup alone is going to make everything so much harder. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a world before this where if he was like, you know, I'm interested in her, they'd be like, yeah, sounds good, whatever. Now they're like, wait, has this been going on the whole time? That's why she was ribbing us with all these questions that day. That is not okay.
The weirdo that like interrogated us at our house, that's who you want to marry? Like, really? Because especially like Jen was not subtle. Jen like asked
not at all.
Other questions, including like if there was a difference in religion, like let's say she was Jewish, like how would you feel about that? Now, I don't know if Jen is Jewish, but it would be convenient for asking if that would be okay. Like, what if she was from America? What if she was in this room right now? How would you feel about that? I feel like
what
Jen
if you
was
were
really
staring at her right this what moment?
What if it was me? How would we feel? So I don't think Jen was being very discreet in her line of questioning.
Not even a little bit. So then when she asks about, have you found any potential wives? We do get a fun confessional where Rishi's like, Jen, just shut up your mouth. What are you doing? Which I think that was all of us. Like, what are you doing? I love the mom's response of, you know, proposals come, but they don't match. You know, sometimes they're short or uneducated. The two metrics, height, you know, and education status.
One of the two. I love Jen being like, short, really? That would be a deal breaker. I don't know Jen's height. I don't know if she was getting worse. Was she getting personally concerned? Like, oh crap, I am only 5'3". That is not going to be good.
All right, I got to wear lifts moving forward. Noted, noted, noted. Okay, cool.
Stilts on the Amazon Prime order.
Yeah. And then she obviously asks about if he marries someone from another religion, which she mentions a couple religions. And I know she knows Rishi's religion. But then at the end of the conversations, she says, inshallah, you'll find someone. Inshallah being, first of all, Arabic. Second of all, rooted in Islam, which I thought, why are you using this here? It doesn't make sense. Questions were raised. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, wow. An American who doesn't know everything that they're dealing with. That is shocking on this show. I am just floored that Jen is not handling this the best, because until then, really 10 out of 10 for this meeting.
Yeah, it was all good until that moment. Exactly. It was easily best conversation of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like one of the many faults that Jen is really, like, she was already three strikes. So, you know,
right.
A couple more.
Oh, my God. So then she does tell us she's disgusted, but then she says, you know, I'm very tempted to tell his family the truth right now, but then I would be making his job easier by doing it for him. I want a man who will help me. I'm not trying to help him. So that's where she leaves us. In the next time on, more talk about honesty and lack of honesty, which here I would say, yeah, there's definitely more of a dishonest relationship with Rishi lying and omitting the truth quite a bit. Whereas with Danielle and Johan, I wasn't quite sure. This is very definitive for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad. And like, there's such like stupid lies too. Like, it could be handled. Like, I don't think any of it that he's hiding are deal breakers. I feel like it's very obvious that she'll find out at certain points. I think that they're very easily explained away, but no, Rishi is just digging that grave for himself. And I'm sad because I like him, but also like, give me drama as I enjoy you as well.
Yeah. I just feel like telling your fiance, who knows your parents do not know about her and that you are engaged, you can tell her, yeah, so they're like trying to find me an arranged marriage, which obviously is never going to happen. It's just funny how hard they're trying. I think at some point she'd be like, well, you should tell them then. But I don't think that's worse than you full on not saying anything and then her hearing about it from three different people in three different ways.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say like, oh, they've been doing this for the last 10 years. Like, let's just like, we could stretch the truth in a different direction.
Yeah.
This is so them. They always do this. They've been doing it since I was 20. Like, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. But specifically the timeline of our relationship. Yeah, that's when they started. Not great.
Exactly.
You know, it is what it is.
You know, it'll be what it'll be. There's more to get here. I feel like, again, like I said, Rishi and Jen are going to be one of the bigger storylines of the season moving forward. So we'll see what we get from them. But just like that, Scally, we have finished talking about everybody.
I can't believe it. I couldn't believe you said there were six couples. I was like, all right, how many have a bye week? I can't believe we're only dealing with six on the season. But, you know, I feel like they're all giving us good content. So I'm very content with that. And I'm excited to keep watching. I feel like I'm invested in these couples now. I am enjoying most of them for the most part. So excited to keep listening and watching as the season goes on.
I love that. I love that for us. And I love that, you know, this keeps the door open so that we hopefully get you back here again this season.
Yeah, hopefully a better episode for my favorite couples.
Yes. I'm making the notes. You would like more Chris and Jamie content. Jenny would like more Debbie and Osama content. I'm sure we can arrange for this to happen.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'm not too picky as long as I don't like get completely iced out on everybody. But the good thing is that I like most people to a degree, or at least I like one of them. So it's not last season of, happily ever after.
No, it can never be, which is great. Now, Scally, let the people know, where can they find you and what other projects you have going on right now?
Ooh, okay. So people can find me on Twitter at Brian_Scally. Anything that I am doing, I try to always tweet out there. I am regularly talking about the Challenge World Championship, which just premiered today as of recording, over on Paramount Plus. We talk about that with Matt Liguori on the Dom and Colin podcast. Strong 2-episode start. So if you're debating getting in on it, I think it's a lot of fun. Also guested this week on Mess Magnets, talking about the Vanderpump Rules drama, the scandal of it all. So I had a lot of fun doing that. So people should check that out. And then anything else I'm doing over on Twitter.
Lovely. Thank you for that, Scally. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puya. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3-4 times a week. I've got more content coming this month. Definitely come through, say hi. I would appreciate it. Check it out. And as far as podcasts go, Masked Singer is still going very strong. We are just about to kick off group 2. Liana and I have been having fun with this season so far. Probably our favorite season in a long time. So definitely check us out there if you're interested to see what's going on in the Masked Singer universe. And I just did the Big Brother Canada 11 draft the other night. It was very fun. I enjoyed myself. I feel pretty good about my team. So, me, a drafter, feeling good about his team. It's been a good year for me. I'm feeling optimistic right now. We'll see how those pan out. So you can check that out if you're interested. And upcoming now, I have got the Australian Survivor talk for you. I was invited to talk about Australian Survivor with Rob and Shannon Gus, which I'm very excited about. That'll be happening this week. It hasn't happened yet. Be on the lookout for that. And of course, I'm talking about Bel-Air season 2 with the lovely Chappelle. We're having a good time with that. 2 episodes deep right now. Episode 3 about to drop soon. So find us there over on Post Show Recaps. And last but not least, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you like what you're hearing here, feel free to leave us a 5-star review. Would appreciate that. You can do so over on robinswebsite.com/90dayfiance. It allows people to find the podcast. It gives me feedback of what you like about the show. And it pushes us even further in the Hot Mess Express to other people who may want to hop aboard. So please do so. That is robinswebsite.com/9-day-fiance. Now we have arrived at our destination here for today. I hope you had fun with us. We'll be back next week with episode 6. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly 1 in 4 consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.